Assalamualaikum. My name is Gibson. I was born in Colombia, Bogota. Around the age of 9, I had many questions about the purpose of life. Who was my creator? And that was my biggest, I wanted to know about more about my creator. So I started a journey at the age of 9, from 9 to 12. And that journey has taught me so much, you know, gone through so many different cultures, religions, beliefs, beautiful journey, and then the journey that got me to at the end, Islam. The journey in Islam is even much more beautiful than the journey before, and that's why I'm here, excited to share with you guys my story on the Deen Show.
I might convert to Islam right now.
This is the Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum, how you doing, Gibson?
Walaikum assalam, doing well, alhamdulillah.
So people got to see a little bit here about you, your beginnings. I mean, you come from a Colombian background.
Yes.
Yeah, and then you ended up here in Florida not too long ago or some time ago?
For a while. I was born in Colombia, but I was raised here. I came out 7 months.
So you came a long time ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you were born in Colombia and then raised here in Florida.
Yes.
All right. Weather's not too different, huh? From Colombia and Florida. Is it hotter over there? Is there the same thing?
Depending on the region in Colombia. But yeah. Bogota specifically is nice and cool. They call it, in Spanish, the nevera, like the freezer.
Yeah. You share something interesting with me. You said the people of Colombia, you know, the people who believe in God, obviously, mm-hmm. they're religious, but they say the church is corrupt. What's the statement?
Yeah, so my family, and a lot of Colombians, but it's specifically my family, you know, the people that believe in God, they're always saying inshallah, in other words, ojalá. They're always having God in mind, you know, wherever they go and everything, they're always mentioning God. Very God mindful and driven people. But with the church, you know, a lot of them, they go to the church culturally, but they know there is, you know, they feel like there's something's wrong. And they also, like my family specifically, always taught me about the corruption of the church, like what the different historical corruptions that they have done, the things that they did to the indigenous people of our lands, and how that, so like that understanding, I always knew that the God, the believing in God was separate than believing in the church. Mm. You know, but there's some Christians in other places, specifically here in the United States, where I see it's equal. You know, you have to, the connection with God is with the church. Mm-hmm. You know?
But in Colombia, it's a little bit different?
In Colombia, specifically my family, but in Colombia generally, yes, it's different, where we don't really connect the belief of God with the church.
Yeah.
You know, we have it separately. Mm-hmm. You know, we could understand that the church is corrupt, but God still exists. But where you see some Christians here, some Christian friends, where they find out something about their church that is corrupt, and then they stop believing in God completely. Mm. You know.
So we'll get back to that, but I want to start off with the beginning. You were mentioning that you started off at a fairly young age, contemplating at what kind of things were you contemplating at that age, young age?
So around the 9 years old. So like I always say, 9 to 12. Like I'll go back a little bit further. So at a young age, my parents always taught me to pray, always taught me to be a good person, have a good character. And then from there, when I got to like the age of 9, 10, 11, I started asking questions. I wanted to know more about my creator. Who was my creator? What are really my beliefs? So, I mean, we're Catholic, per se, like my culture is mostly Catholic. So I was like, okay, what are those beliefs? What does Catholicism say on paper? Not what my parents say or anything, but on paper. So I started asking the pastor, I started asking him questions. And at first, when I wasn't getting pushed away, it would just push you away. Don't question anything. Don't, you know, just believe. And then the ones that did answer my questions sincerely, I was like, these are not my beliefs. The Trinity never made sense to me. You're telling me that a God is a human. You know, it's like telling me to draw a square circle. Logically, it doesn't make sense if you understand the concept of God. At that young age, I didn't know. It was more like a feeling in the heart, a feeling deep inside, like this doesn't seem right. But now I understand that if you understand God, the creator, then the creator cannot be a human. He cannot be made out of, he cannot be in this universe in space, time, or matter.
Mm-hmm. So you had to memorize a statement that your parents, who you were taught to stay away from smoking, drinking, having a, you weren't even a Muslim at that time. You weren't practicing Islam, submission to the creator, not the creation. That's what Islam mm-hmm. means, obviously, for the audience who just tuned in the first time and hearing these terms that we're using. And you were taught some a lot of these good moral teachings. Mm-hmm. But and then also there was something else there that you were taught. What was that prayer or something that you were taught, like to ask God for? What were those things?
Yeah. So I, one thing I always ask God for, and to this day, is to God to make me righteous and pious, and to show me the truth, even if it goes against me.
Okay, so this is something that anybody now just tune in. They don't have to be Muslim or anything, and mm-hmm. they can start with that. You know, asking God directly, mm-hmm. not a human being, no mm-hmm. one in creation, but to be righteous. What was the other one your parents?
Pious.
Pious, and to guide you to the truth, even if it be against yourself.
Yes, yes.
That's deep.
Yeah.
Do you think that prayer, that's what led you to submitting your will to the creator of the heavens and earth, Islam?
Yes, of course, because through my whole journey, so at the age of around 12, I decided, okay, I do not align with the beliefs of Catholicism. I would still go to church and stuff because, again, it was people, they still believed in some type of God or anything, you know, there's a lot of atheists and stuff. I never appealed to that. I never became atheist. If anything, I became more agnostic where I don't believe what the Catholics are saying, but I still believe in one God. You know, and I still saw the example of Jesus, peace be upon him, and the other prophets as a great example. So I would follow their example. And also through the guidance of my parents and my family, I stayed away from alcohol, from drinking, from most things. Alhamdulillah, like, thank God for protecting me from all that for many years. And then from there, like, ask for that prayer. That was God protecting me and guiding me through all of that. Through high school and through my college years and through my life. And then I went through many religions. I went through first Catholicism, then it was like a 7-year process, Buddhism, Sikhism, some Hinduism, and I went back to Christianity, Judaism, back to Christianity, to the Protestants, the Orthodox, the Catholics, learning the history, the beliefs, the culture of each religion, and then seeing, kind of taking the good and leaving the bad of each one, but each one, all of them had some contradiction, but all of them had some good as well. So I always took the good, and those were like the beliefs of not drinking, not smoking, being good to your neighbor, this, like those things I would take and keep, but the other things of, oh, this is God, like God is an animal, or he's a plant, or you need an intermediate to pray to your God, or just other things that contradicted even historically once I started studying when I got older, the historical like claims in the Bible and the historical claims in like reality, like fact, they didn't line up either. So I was like, well, the creator of the heavens and the earth, space, time, matter, he wouldn't contradict. Only humanity would contradict themselves. Why would the creator that is the creator of the cause and effect and everything between contradict himself? Mm-hmm. You know?
So this is the logic that you're using. You're making this prayer, very important, mm-hmm. Praying to be righteous, pious, and for God to guide you to the truth, even if it be against yourself. Mm-hmm. There's so many people, they recognize the truth comes to them, they recognize it, it makes sense, but then they deceive themselves, they cover it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And then they go find their desires, a mm-hmm. position, status, and they forget about the truth, which should supersede all these things.
Yeah.
So you were someone who was sincerely looking for the truth, and now were you getting teased at one point because now you weren't someone who was drinking, you weren't mm-hmm. going to doing a lot of the things, having a girlfriend. Were you, even before Islam, were you getting kind of bullied because of these things or teased because of these things?
Yeah, so I always said, like, I never felt American enough for the Americans, and I never felt Colombian enough for, like, the Colombians. I always was always in this weird middle ground. And, again, it's not that I would get teased maybe when I was really young, but I was always very firm, like, no, this is not what I do. You know, and I always thought about logically, like, why don't you drink? Oh, because it brings... You see the chaos it brings to society, how it breaks families, how accidents, how it makes you blind. You know, a lot of people run to this. Usually people cause harm, physical harm for them to themselves because they're trying to cover up for their mental and spiritual harm that they have deeper inside. So they rather cover it up with physical harm, cutting themselves, drinking, doing drugs, instead of dealing with the real problem that is the mental or even spiritual mm-hmm. Diseases they have inside. You know, but if they fix that, then everything gets fixed.
Yeah.
You know.
So how did that do? How did that go at that time? You're obviously you in Islam, you have the clear guidance that's telling you, okay, this is allowed, this is not, this is haram, this is halal, this is permissible, this is not. You know, out of God's love, this is what He and His mercy, we have the guidance, you know, from going from the smallest things, going to the bathroom, to running a country, and running your family. Everything is there in Islam. But it's beautiful that your parents still brought you up on many of these certain moral principles.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Islam came, was it so much more so easier to go ahead and accept? Because you already rejected, like you said earlier, God being three in one, and you know, a human being, and these man-made ideas about the Creator, and then now here comes Islam, pure monotheism. The moral teachings are there. Was it easy, or you still had to take time to investigate because you wanted to be 100% sure?
Yeah. So accepting Islam was very simple. It was very easy because it's what felt natural. You know, it's what, oh, this is what I believe, and I find other people that believe this. Of course, I was always someone very careful of what I believed, and I always wanted to go very detailed in whatever claim anybody made. So I just wanted to make sure. But once I had those claims and I checked it off, I was like, this is very simple. Each claim was like very simple, very straightforward. You know, it's the only religion that logically explains who your Creator is. You know, Allah, your Creator, is the Creator of space, time, and matter. Everything you see, everything you don't see, and you will only know of Him what He says about Himself. Nothing more, nothing less. You know, with that concept, He's not bound by His creation. He's not bound by space, time, and matter. That means anything that takes up space, is made out of matter, or changes, or even has a time, has a beginning or an end, it's not our Creator. So all of these claims of all these other religions, energy, a ball of energy, a human being, a spaghetti monster in the middle of space, none of that makes sense when you actually understand your Creator. And then Islam came with that. Islam came with the prophecies that all came true historically. Everything is correct. There's no contradictions. And third, also, it comes with what you were saying. It explains to you how to use the bathroom, to even how to run a country, and the best way, everything in between.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the best way of life, the most perfect way of life. One is followed in a holistic, correct way.
Yeah. What about, okay, so there was no entertaining the idea, like many people go to university and they have this crisis of faith. I mean, you're also in the university and you see what goes on. The philosophy professor comes on and he's giving his dawah, right? He's pushing people towards atheism, right? Mocking religion and everything.
Yeah.
So at any point in time, were you entertaining the idea of atheism? And how did you, if you were, if anything came up, how did you battle and get away from that?
Yes. So, yeah, there was a lot of debates I've had with, like, many atheists, and I would study these beliefs and these philosophies. And again, like, when you look at the universe and you see how perfect it is, you know, like, for us it looks chaotic, you know, but when you really study, you go into this cosmology, you look into biology, and you see how perfect everything is, and how everything is cause and effect. That's how our universe works. Our universe works with cause and effect. That means that with the universe expanding, and Allah teaches us that he began, and he made it a process for it to begin, meaning it's still expanding. It's still going, and that's what we know in science as well. Like, everything that God proves in the Quran is proven to be correct. Even 1400 years ago, that we found out maybe like 50 years ago. But otherwise, like, how do we know there's a Creator? Just look around you. Look, how did all of this come to existence without a Creator? You know, so perfect, so aligned. The law of gravity is not different here than it is over there. It's all one. You know, it all comes from one source that is more powerful, that we cannot comprehend because He's outside of our comprehension, because we only comprehend in space, time, and matter, in our universe. He's outside of all of that. He's separate, but He's the Creator of everything. He's in control of everything, but He's separate from His creation. The Creator of everything, but we could not comprehend them. That's where a lot of atheists go, oh, because I cannot materially absorb, study Him, then that's why He doesn't exist. You know, I could study everything, and I could study all the universe, I could study everything materially, but because I cannot comprehend or study Allah, then He must not exist. But all the signs are there. And Allah even makes that in the Quran. He doesn't say we could see Him, no, but He says, go look for my signs. His signs are all over, in cosmology, in mathematics, in the Quran itself, in the claims it makes, in the history, in the prophecies, and everything. You know, it's all there. But you just have to have a good heart to see it. You can't just focus on your intellect. Your heart has to guide you, because your heart is what's connected to your soul, to your soul, and your soul is connected to Allah and the greater being.
So before you accepted this way of life, the deen, you didn't come across, you know, this path of going towards atheism. This wasn't something that you entertained?
I listened.
Yeah.
I would listen to everyone, you know, and I listened, but I was like, just
doesn't make sense.
You know, okay. It just doesn't make sense.
So you crossed that out?
Yeah, I crossed that out right away.
Okay, so then, and then you, what common thing did you see, because you mentioned you went through all the different religions, you wanted to make sure. And I kind of did the same thing. Mm-hmm. I opened up a world religions book, and I took an analytical, scientific approach, and I wanted to see, okay, why is this religion necessary? What about this one? Because it seems like Shaitan, you know, puts out all this confusion, mm-hmm. and now it's like you give up, and you're like, man, all religions, they're all the same. I don't want to follow, like the common saying, any organized religion. Right, I'm a good person. What does good mean, right? Mm-hmm, going to the nightclub and just like being good to your neighbor, or still like drinking on the weekends, and then what, get in a car accident, kill somebody, but you're a good person. So there's no clear guidelines. So what did you see in common amongst most of these man-made religions?
I mean, most religions, everybody is trying to worship something, even if they know or not.
Yeah.
You know, everybody is, even the atheists, Allah tells us that, la ilaha illallah, meaning Allah is the only one worthy of worship. Meaning that when I look at that, I think about it in the aspect that our Creator is telling us something. You know, He says there's wisdom in all His creation, and everything He says there's wisdom. Meaning, humanity will always need to worship something, mm-hmm. you know, and He's the only one worthy of worship because He is our Creator.
Yes.
But meaning all these other religions, they're worshiping something that's not the Creator.
Oh,
so you know, so the similarity I saw was that everybody's trying to worship something, and then yes, some came with, you know, like yes, worshiping. I mean, you know, feeding the poor, doing good to others. Buddhism, like the meditation, you know, like of being relaxed and calm, being balanced. You know, some of these things, some of these concepts are in Islam, but in a balanced way. Some of these religions go to extremes and stuff. Yeah. There's a lot of similarities. There's all the good things from all the other religions are in Islam. And then, but Islam, the main thing is that it has all the truth. And everything in Islam is the truth. And it also is the only one that is worshipping the true Creator. The other ones are trying to worship the creation in different ways.
That's what I saw also, creation worship, same thing. You'll see when you get to know the pure monotheism to Tawheed, and now you can go ahead and use that as a litmus test. You can go ahead as a measuring stick to see, like, you know, where these man-made religions, they're always going to end up going some way in direction to worship the creation instead of the Creator. And that's the beautiful thing about Islam that Abhi saw, is worshiping the Creator, not the creation, right? So let's go back to a little bit. So you're on your journey, young age, on these moral teachings, so you didn't go down, you know.
I did want to clarify something.
Go ahead, please.
Was that, so a lot of atheists will question me, will be like, what do you mean I'm atheist? I don't worship anything. No, but you do. You either worship money, atheism, liberalism, or yourself. You know, like usually you worship something. Either if that's anime or money or yourself or liberalism, a philosophy, you're worshiping that. It's a form of worship.
Absolutely, 100%,
100%. Sport, athlete, a soccer player.
You can see someone, if you follow them in their life, and the person who is atheist, like you said, because it's in our fitrah, in our innate disposition to worship something. So the atheist will go around in his life and he'll have all these events happen to him, and then he'll base it on, well, how did this happen to you but not your friend? You got this position, this job, it's my good luck, my good fortune. Then he'll have in his closet, he'll have his good luck shirt, he'll do the superstitions.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if you go back and you link it, you go even deeper, you'll see that there's even a god, I think it was named for the god of fortune, Fortuna, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the whole life is about good luck, bad luck. That's why they even have the missing when you go up in certain elevators, the number 13, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's always something there, you know what I mean?
Always
you're worshiping something. But the greatest thing at the end, you're worshiping your desires.
You know
what I mean? That's dictating life. So anyways, back to this. What about the idea, because obviously coming from a Christian background, the idea, and this is not ever to like disparage on anybody's religion or anything, but these are just important points that we try to highlight so other people can see if they have things related to your story at the same time, because many people do scratch their head when they come to these things. So the next thing, you discuss the Trinity, and that didn't make sense, God being three in one, the idea that God is one, alone worthy worship, that made sense. What about the crucifixion? What about God dying for your sins, Jesus dying for your sins? Did that play any role in your life? Was that something that
you had to... So the way, like, at one point, when I started studying more of Islam, the way I kind of, again, I did not believe in the Trinity, because the first one, the Father, we don't know, maybe that could be the creator. You know, that could be Allah, what they're talking about. But the other two, they're part of the creation. They take up space, and they're made of, space, time, or matter. The Holy Spirit is a spirit, is a spiritual realm, you know? Spiritual realm, mental realm, physical realm, anything that takes up space, time, or matter in those three realms is not Allah.
Yeah.
So I eliminated, it doesn't make sense. This is part of His creation, meaning the way I thought about it was like the Father, and again, I could be incorrect about this, but the Father could be Allah, you know, our Creator. The Son is His creation, like the prophets, because they were closer to Him. And then the Holy Spirit is the one who brings the message. The way I see it is Angel Jibril. You know, Angel Jibril is the one who brings the message. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that they're all God. They're individual creation of Allah. You know? Mm-hmm. That's the way I always saw it. Yeah. What was your second question?
The crucifixion. But back to what you were saying, don't lose your place. But because that's what we would say, the Father who art in heaven. You say the Lord who art in heaven. Father, now taking it to a literal sense, but understanding this metaphorically, is the one who cares for you, who loves you the most, the one who is maintaining you, you know, all those attributes of the Creator. But to take God as a literal Father, what they've done, like a man, old man in the sky with a beard, you know what I mean? To give any kind of like these physical resemblances, you know, like people do, and then they form these concepts in their head, but they completely shake. God, there's nothing comparable to God Almighty. Anything you can conjure up in your mind, that's not God, that's in your imagination. So let's go back, what we were saying, the crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus dying for your sins.
So, again, it contradicts itself, even in the Bible. God, how did I even think about this? It was just very simple. It was, I know this is not God. Second, I know the church is corrupt, so I already came with a mindset of like, whatever they tell me could be wrong, you know? And it's again, more like following the heart. You know, so from the beginning, I already felt like this is not right. Why does one man have to die for all our sins? And how does this one man dying let others, like how many Christians would tell me, not all, but some, that if a man rapes, if he kills, if he does anything wrong, but he still believes in Jesus as a savior, then he's okay. Then what's the point of this life? What's the point of tests? It's just, there's so many contradictions. And then God himself says, like we know now in Islam, that no man will burden the sins of another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just... from the beginning, it didn't make sense. But once I started learning Islam, and I didn't see any contradictions, and then, again, there were some things that maybe I didn't fully know, but I knew they were wrong. Like, they weren't the correct, like, there was something wrong about it. It was incorrect. Maybe I stayed away from it. I didn't believe in it, but I didn't know how to speak up against it until I got to Islam, and I heard, and I was like, oh, this makes sense, you know? And, like, there was many things that I kind of held inside of me. I never really told anyone, oh, I didn't believe this or anything. I just kind of had it inside. But and then once I got to Islam, and then everything was just clear, everything, like, oh, Jesus didn't die for your sins because Jesus, no one needs to die for for like the sake of others, you know. And then also even in the Bible, there's a point where Jesus comes back. I believe it's Isaiah 42. I could be wrong. Isaiah 42, but I could be wrong. But in the New Testament, Jesus comes back to his disciples, and he tells they're all scared, you know. And then he asks them, "Why are you scared?" And he said, "Oh, because we heard that you died, you know. We heard that you died. We heard," meaning this is another proof of the disciples weren't there, because they say they heard. And then he said, "No, I believe he says, like, I'm skin and bones. Touch me, you know." Like they feel him, and then they're like, "Oh, my master," and they hug him. Meaning, like, my teacher, my master. They hug him, and then that's where Jesus goes and tells them that he's leaving, and that he will be back one day. And then he tells them that there will be someone that comes after him, and you'll know him, that will come after him to guide, and you'll know him because he'll be the only one to glorify his name. Meaning, like, Muslims were the only ones that glorified Jesus' name, not as God, but as the mighty prophet, as the Messiah. And he says, you'll know him and his followers by the fruit of their trees. You know?
So this is the prediction now that Jesus, peace be upon him, is talking about. He's foretelling the future of another prophet coming.
Yes.
And who was this prophet?
Muhammad.
Prophet Muhammad.
Yes.
Not as a god or a son of God.
No.
But just as a messenger.
Yes.
Yeah, and he came with the Quran, huh? So what was it that, when finally, in the last few minutes that we have, what was it that did it for you, that you finally were like, that's it, this is the truth, I need to accept it, I'm not going to be making up my own religion by just, you know, saying I believe in God, I'm a good person. You know, you went through the atheism, you rejected that, what your parents were upon, you know, at that time, you went above and beyond, came to Islam. What was it that finally had you take your shahada, that you confirmed that the Quran is indeed the verbatim word of God Almighty, and this way of life is the way of life that God wants me to be upon, Allah?
Yes. So what got me to the end, so from 2015, about, I knew Allah was my creator. You know, I would go to prayer, I would go to Jummah, and I had a lot of Muslim friends that had amazing characters that were always there for me. I guess what at the end, but I had this mindset of like,
so, oh. So you were doing all this even before you took your shahada, before you accepted Islam. You were already like going to Jummah here and there.
Yes,
and,
yes.
Yeah, wow.
And then the reason why I didn't convert then or revert then was because I was in the mindset like, oh, I want to help everyone, all humanity. So I don't want to be tied down to one religion, because that might limit me to help out everyone else, you know. And then, but once I started learning more about Islam, and then one of the Jummah, someone, the Imam said specifically, he said, and to summarize, he pretty much said, don't be a blind follower of the community, but also don't be a monk. You know, be in the community, be patient. And if you want to better the community, then be part of it, and the community will benefit you, like society as a whole. So with that said, I was like, I don't know, something that clicked, you know. And then there's also other situations in life where it was getting harder. Once you get older, the life gets harder. Sometimes I don't know if I would have been the same if I would have continued not being in religion, not having that community, you know, that support system. That the Islam, like, Islam is beautiful because of the oneness of Allah. All the things that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ teaches, his character, his compassion, his honesty, his justice, how humble and firm he was with everyone, even his enemy, you know. And then also just the ummah it comes with, the community it comes with, the support system. Like, I can't imagine, like, being where I am without the community, you know. So I feel like that was, like, a point where I realized also I need support, and then I could also help them in many ways. And I would have not gone the right, I might not be in the right path if I continue just being on my own, you know. And it was like it was from the ego also, like, oh, I don't need to be part of a religion, I don't need to, you know. But once I was like, no, like, let me really submit. And yes, I'm praying, I'm this, but also part of being Muslim is your belief, your intentions, and your actions, meaning your actions also with your community.
Yes.
you know, they have rights upon you, and your family and everyone has rights upon you. So it was fulfilling all those things. Yeah. That's when I finally like accepted.
So let's finish off with the amazing news that at the end of all this, your mother and father, they also came to Islam.
My mother did, alhamdulillah. And my father is right there, you know. Uh-huh. Inshallah, very soon, my father will be. He loves Islam and he talks about it to all his friends.
What's his name?
Gilberto.
Gilberto, ¿qué pasó, mi amigo? I'd like to have you next on the Deen Show as we're talking here. Inshallah, you take shahada and we'll have your father telling his story. That'd be amazing, huh? So we'll talk about it. We'll get your father to watch it.
Yes,
and we'll have your father, Señor Gilberto.
Gilberto, yes.
Señor Gilberto, accept Islam. How do you say Islam? Submission to the creator, not the creation.
That specifically?
Yes. Believing in one God.
Sí, creyendo en un Dios. What else?
Submitting to one God and one God alone, worshiping the creator alone and not his creation.
Orándole solamente a un Dios y orándole solamente al Dios de todo y no a su creación.
Yeah. So finish off. So you said your father was right there?
Oh, he's like right there to like accept Islam. Like, again, he's always talking about it with his friends. He's always quoting Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's coming to the masjid and he's just right there, you know. Travels a lot and everything, so he's
I'm excited already. I feel he's right there.
Yeah. Just inshallah.
And you could be watching right now. I get excited when people, it's very simple. You already believe in one and only one God. You believe in the prophets that God Almighty sent, that Jesus was a messenger, Abraham, Noah, Muhammad, just the last and final messenger. Then you repeat after us, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. That there's nothing worthy of worship. That's in your innate nature, see? Except the one who created you, the one God, Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. And then you would automatically include Jesus, mm-hmm. Abraham, Noah. And with that said, how's your relationship with Jesus now? What do you view him as? Like many people think that now, oh, they hate Jesus or they're lost. What is your relationship with Jesus now?
No, I mean, like even before Islam, like I remember I would ask myself, because I always upheld Jesus as, I didn't know who my God was. I knew there was one God. And I did have like a feeling like, oh, if this is a prophet, then like if there is prophets, then this would be one because of his character and everything.
Jesus.
So So I would always ask in different situations, like, what would Jesus do in this moment?
Yes.
And a lot of Christians do that still. And to this day, I still ask like, oh, what would Jesus or Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or any of the prophets do in these moments, because they're the best of example for humanity. And Jesus is one of those mighty prophets.
We're out of time. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Thank you very much. Very exciting story. I hope, inshallah, this motivates you, inspires you, and take this prayer that his parents taught him. You can go ahead and run with that. You're asking God Almighty to make you righteous, pious, and to guide you to the truth, even if it be against yourself. So if this is the truth, it's the way of life of Jesus, the way of life of Jesus, not the worship of Jesus or anything in creation. Pray to the one God. Pray to your creator. Ask for guidance. And if you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead. You can get it for free at thedeenshow.com. And if you still have any questions, call us at 1-800-662-4752. And we'll see you next time here in the Deen Show. Subscribe if you haven't already. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeenshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. And if you like this episode of The Deen Show, like this video, share this video far and wide, and support us on our Patreon page so we can continue this work. Thank you for tuning in. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.